Let's check in with infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University, Dr. Eileen Marty. Dr. Marty, good morning. We're being warned now about the bird flu, and some experts saying we've reached a turning point. What's going on with that?
So I think you're referring to the reality that on the 15th of July, the CDC confirmed that there are an additional five individuals symptomatic with H5N1 in Colorado, and these people did not get it from the cows like the other four people that we've recently seen in the last few months. They got it from working with infected chickens. So what we're looking at is a virus that is mutating and adapting better and better to being able to infect mammals. And you get into the weeds on this, and it becomes absolutely fascinating, because we've talked before that what we've seen in our cows is that clade 2.3.4.4b, right? Well, that has been subdivided into genotypes and then subgenotypes, and that's because we're looking at those mutations that make these viruses have an easier time infecting mammals. So what we've been seeing specifically in the cows is the 2.3.4.4b that has the subtype B3 and the subgenotype of 13. What does that mean? That means it has all the listed mutations that we currently worry about to enhance mammalian adaptation. In other words, being able to infect mammals like cows and horses and cats and people. And it's just, we're just down to just a bare few little extra mutations so that it would be easily transmissible between person to person. Though that last part hasn't happened yet, which is good, but already the virus that's circulating and that's gotten into the cows, this 2.3.4.4b subtype B13B3, is able to bind, not as well, but to those receptors in the upper part of our nose, and able to reproduce better because some of the genes that have changed allow the enzymes that help make the virus, the polymerase, be able to work at the lower body temperatures of our bodies, because birds have much higher body temperatures than we do. So that was a change the virus needed to make in order to really cause problems. Now, these five new people in Colorado have a symptom that we're seeing with H5N1 that is not typical of regular flu in general, and that's a conjunctivitis. So one of the important things to realize is that doctors who see a patient that has the conjunctivitis need to talk about exposure to potentially contaminated animals or their products that they may have encountered in a raw form. So raw eggs or raw unpasteurized milk. And then treat that patient as promptly as possible, because if it gains more access to more humans, it will adapt, and then we could have a huge problem in our hands.
Yeah, that's when I crawl out of the weeds here, and nobody goes in the weeds like you. Here's the question I'm left with. How close is this to becoming a pandemic?
So it's got to acquire a few more mutations in the receptor binding site. The receptor binding site is based on these H's, right? The HA, the hemagglutinin, that is has to be able to bind a little bit better to those alpha-2-6 linked sialic acid receptors that we have in our nose. If it just binds a little bit better, then it could spread from person to person. Right now, it can't do that. That's the good news, right? It's still a purely zoonotic thing. We're getting it from the animals. But the more humans that get it, the more likely it is that one of these viruses will say, hey, this is a nice place to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, and that could be one of the problems. The other thing is we like it has already a little it has some mutations in the stalk that also increase its pH stability. But a few more mutations there could really help that virus be able to spread from person to person.
I mentioned earlier that we've got this spike in COVID. You and I have talked about this, and we're getting a lot of questions again about Paxlovid from our listeners. How effective is it? Any danger to taking it?
So this is one of the miracles that's really drugs, if you will, that have come out because you can take it orally. It's very particular to affecting the SARS-CoV-2 protease, and it's a safe medication. However, it does interfere with how you excrete other drugs that you might be taking, and so we have to take precautions for people who are taking certain types of medications or have renal disease, in which case we would have to alter that dose. So it's a great medication for reducing the timeline of the COVID-19, for reducing the odds of ending up with long COVID. So that's another really good reason to take the Paxlovid if you're infected. But you have to know your patient, and the patient has to know their underlying conditions and make sure that their physician or other healthcare worker is well aware of those, so that if they're given Paxlovid, they're given it at the appropriate dose for them, or they have to reduce the dosage of other medications that they're taking.
Another question on the text line. Hi, Bob. Would be so grateful if you could ask Dr. Marty about this. I recently went to Quest to do the COVID antibody test. It came back positive. The results said greater than 150. We don't know how to interpret this. Does it mean I had an active infection? And how recently might I have had that?
So it's impossible for me to answer that question without knowing exactly what test they did at Quest. But this was an antigen test, not an antibody test, correct?
Let's see what they said here. They said it was an antibody test, COVID antibody.
Okay, so then all bets are off. That means that they have immunity, but they've made a response, which means they were infected, but it doesn't tell you anything about timeline because everybody's different at how many antibodies they make, and these tests are different. So if the person could provide me with more data on which test exactly the Quest did, I might be able to give them a little bit more precise information. But even so, it's going to vary with the individual. And it's also important to know which antibodies they tested, whether it was IgM, which would mean a recent case, right, or mm-hmm. IgG that was up that high, in which case it could just mean that they've had COVID multiple times or a good vaccination and they're just in good shape right now, assuming that for that particular test, 150 is a high value.
That person and anybody else can get in touch with us, and we'll take your questions for Dr. Marty on our text line or on our email. And if you go to WGNRadio.com, the Surratt Show page, scroll down to the mailbox, and all the addresses are there. And Dr. Marty, you might get some requests for autographed photos. You never know. We'll pass those along to you, too. Thanks for the information today. We'll talk to you.
I have to give those from 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah. We all do that. Take care. Thank you.